Chapter 38. Planet Samast. Day 3 of the Siege of Inusutur.
It had been too long since Captain Tabor Cyteron had last tasted victory. He'd forgotten the exhilaration of a proper battle, the joy of calling orders and encouragement to a proud and dedicated crew, the tense thrill of suddenly fathoming an opponent's gambit. The arrival of the rebels' gunship had amused him. He'd foreseen it as a possibility, albeit an unlikely one, but the weaponization of Inusutur's lava had come as a genuine surprise. Governor Chalice and her allies were cleverer than he'd expected. Not that the outcome was in doubt. He watched the gray sky through the viewport of the Herald's Bridge, saw X-wings flash by in clouds of sparks and smoke. The Star Destroyer wasn't built for atmospheric maneuvering, but neither were the enemy ships, and they lacked the firepower to be more than an irritant. As soon as the gunship and its starfighters were gone, the Herald would deliver a fresh infantry battalion to reinforce the bleeding and battered army trapped on the peak and the forces suffocating brushfire rebellions in Penumbra. The siege would be broken, the Celestine governor's precious mineral processing facility would be saved, and Prelate Verge would recover the object of his quest. Verge himself seemed an admixture of nervous and eager energies. Where Tabor stood at the center of the bridge, Verge paced above the control pits, calling commands to the gunners. Tabor did not interfere. The voice orders were unnecessary, but sensible enough, and Tabor had seen worse battlefield commanders.
Predator! Captain Cyteron!
Tabor turned to the communications officer expectantly. Barsel, Tabor thought. Competent lad, overeager, but young enough to have an excuse. Verge cast a backward glance in the man's direction, waved permission to speak.
There's a shuttle leaving off from one of the transport stations, Barsel said.
Escaping the lava, I presume,
Tabor said.
Is it broadcasting clearance codes?
Yes, sir, Barsel said. The ones you said to watch for.
Tabor chuckled and caught an approving smile from Verge.
Let this be a lesson to all of you, Tabor called. You may trick a wise man once, a fool twice, but no one falls for the same treachery three times.
Governor Chalice had used her security codes to approach an Imperial transport in the Redhern system. The rebels had used them again to bypass the blockade of Hoth. For her to try a third time, to flee her own battle in a shuttle, seemed an extraordinary act of hubris.
Bring the shuttle in with a tractor beam, Verge said, before it leaves the atmosphere. Keep it intact, please. We'll meet it in the shuttle bay.
Verge was striding toward the turbo lift before he had finished the sentence, yet he pivoted when Tabor didn't follow. After a moment, Tabor grimaced and left the viewport for the prelate's side. He kept his voice low as he spoke.
You don't need me for this. One of us should remain here.
He feared he might anger the prelate, but the boy only shook his head and squeezed Tabor's shoulder.
Do you truly think we're needed for this battle? Our real triumph is in the hangar. I want you at my side.
It was almost a plea, like a child might make to his father. Tabor wanted to refuse, to state sternly that so long as men were dying under his watch, he could not walk away. Every victory had a price, and though the Herald was unassailable, casualties were mounting below. To bear witness was a matter of respect. Yet he knew Verge well enough to guess what the boy would think of respecting one's underlings above all else.
I have my link, Tabor called to the control pits. The moment anything changes, inform me immediately.
The enemy at last,
Verge murmured as they boarded the lift.
Do you suppose she knows the end has come? Will she acknowledge that her own disloyalty inevitably led to failure?
She's a bottom-feeding rat, prelate, Tabor said. I wouldn't expect gravitas from this confrontation.
Then we will bring meaning to it,
Verge said.
In the Emperor's name.
The tractor beam delivered the shuttle to the tertiary hangar bay. Scanner showed only a single life form aboard. If Chalice was the passenger, as Verge so clearly believed, she'd come alone. To Verge's amusement, T'Bor chose two fleet troopers for security. Zios and Cantompa, both men whom T'Bor had come to appreciate during his time aboard the Herald. They'd watched Verge torment their peers, attended T'Bor when he'd taken sick from the change in his diet, stood outside the tactical center in their crisp black uniforms and helmets for hours on end. T'Bor trusted them. And if there was any honor to be gained in Chalice's final capture, they deserved to share it.
Do you expect to storm out rifle blazing?
Verge asked as T'Bor's escort preceded them through the Durasteel door into the shuttle bay. At least, T'Bor thought, the prelate wasn't openly snickering.
I expect a bit of caution does no harm, T'Bor said.
One of the men called an all clear, and Verge led T'Bor into the hangar, the same one, T'Bor recalled, where he had first disembarked aboard the Herald. The shuttle inside had already lowered its boarding ramp. The guards had their rifles aimed at the entrance. With slow, almost ceremonial deliberation, the shuttle's passenger descended. She wore the black uniform of an Imperial Army captain, though her boots were non-standard. A breath mask hung unused around her neck. Her arms were spread wide, her palms up, in a gesture that might have indicated either surrender or welcome. Her features broadly matched T'Bor's memories, but she appeared haggard and thin, exhausted despite the cruel smile that played across her lips.
Forgive the outfit, Governor Chayla said. I borrowed it from one of your men to access the shuttle.
She turned her hips slightly and T'Bor saw the fabric was frayed and burned in one spot on her torso, the mark of a blaster bolt. He stiffened and scowled.
To murder a man and then make light of it?
Not one of my men, Verge said. One of the Emperor's nonetheless. Another treason for your tally.
But Chalice turned to T'Bor first, eyes widening in exaggerated surprise.
Captain Citeron, she said, you came out of retirement for me. Your mistress must be jealous.
He'd forgotten about her accent, that awful, exaggerated schoolgirl Coruscanti, as if she might fool anyone into thinking she hadn't been born in the bowels of a colonial backwater. Count Vidian had been a clever man, but T'Bor couldn't imagine why he'd gone to such trouble to uplift Chalice.
I hoped to keep my mind sharp, he began.
And you must be the prelate.
Chalice cut T'Bor off and turned to Verge, looking the stern-faced boy up and down.
But you hardly gave me the opportunity, he'd intended to finish.
He bristled at the interruption, forced his irritation down.
Truly,
Chalice continued,
you must be an extraordinary individual. To have been granted a new title by Palpatine himself, not made a moth or minister or vizier with all those duties and responsibilities, but a prelate.
T'Bor couldn't tell whether Verge understood he was being mocked. The boy eyed Chalice with disdain, looked at her as if her very existence were a personal affront.
So far as you are concerned, Verge said, I am the agent of our Emperor in this place. You have not done well by our Lord and Master.
Chalice laughed, a sound that might have been light and joyful if it weren't for a guttural hoarseness behind it.
You're very keen on styling yourself the Emperor's favored servant, aren't you? Is it true that you built a shrine to him on Naboo? That you like to shock yourself late at night to see if you can endure what he endured to earn his scars? Maybe if you wore a mask, he'd treat you more like he does Vader.
Verge took a single step forward, and T'Bor saw his body trembling. The thought of what Verge might do to Chalice didn't concern him, Was she looking to bait him into giving her a swift death? But if Verge's anger grew too great, if he lashed out at others...
You needn't listen to this prelate, Tabor said.
Verge didn't appear to hear him.
I apologize,
Chayla said and half bowed.
I congratulate you on your defeat of me. I've come to make you an offer.
An offer?
Verge said. It was nearly a whisper.
I've learned more than any spy about the inner workings of the Rebel Alliance. Its leadership, its plans, its vulnerabilities.
Chalice's voice had suddenly lost its playfulness and dropped an octave.
Grant me a pardon for my crimes, and I'll share it all with you.
Verge's trembling increased. His lips half parted as he drew long, hissing breaths. Tabor found that his own jaw was sore and clenched. He glanced to his guards to see if they too feared what their prelate might do. Although both aimed their weapons at Chalus, their eyes were on Verge. All at once, Verge's trembling stilled. His muscles seemed to relax. Casually, confidently, he stepped up to Chalice and reached out to dig his fingers into her cheek and chin, as if he might tear off her face as he would a mask. Chalice gasped in pain but did not struggle. When Verge wrenched at her, sent her toppling to the floor, she rolled but did not rise again, looking up from a face streaked with shallow cuts.
The Emperor, Verge said, flicking his hand as if he trailed it through mud. Has no need of a woman like you. And in your defeat, I have proven myself worthy of a place alongside Vader.
Chalus looked small and crumpled on the floor. Tabor did not pity her.
If you say so.
Her voice was now rough and cracking. With one hand, she reached into one of the pockets of her pants and withdrew a small, flat device with a single button.
Stop her!
Tabor wanted to shout, but it was too late. He saw her thumb flex, heard the tiniest of clicks. For an instant, nothing happened. Then the shuttle seemed to come ablaze with a blinding aura of blue-white light. Electrical arcs leapt over its surface, and the shuttle bay echoed with the sounds of sparks and current. Popping noises emanated from control panels around the hangar as arcs of lightning touched tractor beam generators and docking clamps. A noxious smell of melted metal and plastoid caused Tabor to gag and shield his nose with his sleeve. When the light faded, spots of green and red floated across Tabor's eyes, and he blinked harshly to clear them. Somehow words came to him as his stunned, aging brain realized what had occurred.
An ion bomb, he murmured.
The deck shuddered beneath him, and the hull of the Herald seemed to groan.
About 20 of them,
Chayla said. She was on her hands and knees, slowly climbing to her feet. Her voice was suddenly desiccated.
Everything Twilight had left.
The deck shuddered again. Verge glanced about, legs gently bowed for balance and lips twisted into a sneer.
This is an Imperial Star Destroyer. All vital equipment is shielded. Even 20 bombs will do nothing.
But that wasn't true. Tabor shook his head, trying to organize his thoughts.
Why wasn't it true? Think, Tabor.
We're in atmosphere, he said, embarrassed at his own urgent tone. We need full power to stay aloft. Any disruption at all.
Star Destroyers were extraordinary vessels, capable of raising mountains and carrying armies. But their mass was measured in millions upon millions of tons, and their energy requirements were vast. He made an effort to compose himself to speak in a manner befitting an Imperial captain.
We must withdraw immediately, he said.
He tapped his comlink.
Transfer all weapons and auxiliary power, anything we can spare, to the engines. Get us back in orbit.
In return, he heard only Chalice's guttural laughter.
Of course.
The Herald's systems were largely shielded, but his comlink had been disabled,
along with anything in the hangar more complex than a light fixture. He turned to the guards, ordered the message carried to the bridge. They ran together to the hangar door, which did not open. Tabor spat a curse. The guards set to removing the control panel and searching for the override. Verge stood unmoved, staring at Chalice, as if the ion blast had broken him too.
Why did you do this?
Tabor wanted to shout at Chalice. What do you gain aside from bloodshed? Did she really mean to give her life for the rebel cause?
Still think you've won the Emperor's favor?
Chalice asked, eyes locked with Verge's.
You still belong to me,
Verge said, though he sounded uncertain.
And in capturing me, you've put one of Sallust's most important assets in the hands of the Rebellion.
She shook her head slowly.
Not in a calculated trade either, but in a bungled act of ego and idiocy.
The deck lurched, sending Tabor hard onto his knees. A sharp pain burst up his legs, and he wondered how much damage he'd done to his bones. He glanced to the guards who were sprawled on the ground with the door only open a crack, to Chalice, who was kneeling once again. Only Verge had retained his balance. As klaxons began to sound outside the bay, he lunged forward, grasping Chalice by the chin and striking her across the face. Again she did not struggle, only turning to ease the pain of the blows as they came in a swift repeating blur. When Verge, blood speckling his knuckles and his face, his eyes wide as a rabid animal's, paused to catch his breath, the governor laughed again.
I've seen Vader,
she said, a red smile on her lips.
Next to him, you really are pathetic.
Verge froze with one hand curled like a claw above Chalice's eyes.
We're through!
One of the guards called. The other was attempting to squeeze into the narrow gap they'd created between door and frame.
Stop,
Verge said, his voice almost gentle. We will not withdraw from the battle. Tabor was too confused to protest. Verge kept speaking.
The Emperor will not forgive this failure, nor should he. Have the bridge direct all firepower at the rebel army. Destroy the processing facility if you must, but we will not allow Sallust to fall.
Implications crept over Tabor much too slowly.
Prelate!
He began sharply, scolding. He forced himself to moderate his tone, but he could hear his own strain.
Sallust will not be lost. We can fight the battle another day. To sacrifice our men and the men on the ground.
The Herald had a crew of thousands. They had given everything to Verge, but this was too much. This was madness.
Why did you do this?
Do not question my orders, Captain,
Verge said. His voice remained childishly gentle.
We have all failed, and we are all responsible. We will fly this vessel into the mountain before we suffer another defeat.
Then, Chalice struck Verge while his head was turned, and he could argue no more. The two grappled fiercely, the boy in his prime against the governor twice his age. Yet sheer savagery offered her an edge Verge could not easily overcome. Tabor called to the prelate, but his voice was lost in the struggle and the klaxons. The guards stood where they were, unsure of what to do. But they were good men, dutiful. In a moment, they'd accept their prelate's orders and head for the bridge. Tabor cursed and drew his sidearm, leveled it at the fighting pair. His pistol was a Marison B-22, mechanically activated. It might still be capable of firing after the ion blast. If he could end the fight, he might be able to talk sense into the prelate, and the Herald might yet escape. His hands were trembling as he squinted, tried to acquire his target. In the back of his mind, he considered what he could say to sway Verge, what argument he could make to demonstrate that the deaths of so many good men were unnecessary.
He searched his memory, sifted through conversations with the boy over breakfast, and while observing interrogations. He tried to fit the pieces of Verge's crazed philosophy together, to find something in his vision of the Empire that Tabor could use. He imagined the crew of the Herald dying for the boy's passion. He pulled the trigger. The holdout pistol's muzzle flashed red. The combatants separated, and Verge looked at Tabor with wide, mystified eyes, the look of a hound cruelly struck by its master, before falling to the ground. Flames licked at the hole in his chest.
"Tell the bridge to pull out. All power to the engines," Tabor said.
He heard the guards moving, scraping through the crack in the doorway. They were good men. He could count on them. Chalice's face was a mask of blood. He aimed the pistol at her breast. She was smiling.
"Why did you do this? Out of spite? Out of rebel loyalty?"
"Captain Citeron," she said, "Tabor."
"You are responsible here," Tabor said. "Not the boy whose madness was given to him, not chosen."
Dead, Verge no longer seemed threatening or unpredictable. He was a victim of circumstance, a brilliant mind, and an eager patriot. Verge had believed he was doing Tabor a kindness, bringing the old captain out of retirement. Tabor found his vision blurring. He prepared to fire.
"One question first," Chayla said.
"One question only,"
Tabor snarled. She shrugged, as if she'd expected that answer.
"Tell me," she said. "If I shot the prelate while you and your guards were trapped outside, how could I then shoot myself in the chest with my own pistol?"
Tabor stared at Chalice as if she'd gone mad.